because I've got a lot to go over. It's going to be a lot of scripture today. You might feel more comfortable just following along as opposed to trying to flip back and forth. But if you're going to do anything, turn to Revelation. That's where most of it's going to be from. And then we'll flip around from there. So if you're going to thumb something, put your thumb into Revelation. We'll get there in a moment. But right off the top of this week's portion, as I read in both the English and Hebrew, is a very important aspect of the portion. So let me read Exodus 25, 1 and 2 again, just to jump right in. Adonai spoke to Moses, saying, "Tell Bnei Israel to take up an offering for me. From anyone whose heart compels him, you are to take my offering." That was the word I was stumbling over, compel. Boy. So here we have an important calling to the people of Israel. It's a call for the people to listen to their hearts and to give with their hearts. Adonai didn't want anyone giving who was going to be forced. He wasn't standing over them. He didn't expect the leaders of Israel to stand over anyone and force them to give in order to build the sanctuary. And I hope you don't feel that anyone's standing over you and forcing you to give to Karen Orr. First of all, you're not giving to Karen Orr. You're giving to the kingdom. That's the first. But second of all, it should be with a joyful heart that you want to give. Now, that being said, this is not a tithing message, although it started that way. So, but what it is a message that says Adonai's prompting us to look at our heart. Because there's a many important things, and there are many scriptures that tell us the importance of our heart. It tells us it can be a warm heart. It tells us how deceitful our hearts can be. It tells us it stores up wisdom, that it's a place of knowledge, emotions, and so much more. Scripture directs us, even in warnings, of what our heart should be like. Psalm 24, 3 and 4 says, "Who may go up to the mountain of Adonai? Who may stand in his holy place? One with clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted his soul in vain, nor sworn deceitfully." Here we're told the ones who can go up to Adonai are the ones with clean hands and a pure heart. This is an example of Jewish poetry, where instead of rhymes, it repeats, and repeats in slightly a different way. So clean hands and a pure heart mean the same thing. So he's repeating twice the same thing. This is the importance of our hearts. It's the way we get to draw close to the Lord. Scripture is full of instructions of not only to watch our own heart, but the hearts of others when we're looking at other people. We're told that what a person does out of his heart is a reflection of who they are. Proverbs 27:19. "As water reflects the face, so a person's heart reflects that person." So our heart's a reflection, but it's not just a reflection back to ourselves. It's a reflection to everybody, so that everybody can see it. Now, some people are better at hiding their true heart to other people. Obviously, they can't hide their heart from Adonai. But we can't always tell what a person's heart is by looking at them. We can see their actions. We can hear the words they say. Maybe they do all the right things. They lift their hands at the right times. They say the right words. But that doesn't mean that we know their heart. Only Adonai knows the character of the heart. And let's take a look at 1 Samuel 16:7 to see that. But Adonai said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or his stature, because I have already refused him. For he does not see a man as a man sees him. For a man looks at the outward appearance, but Adonai looks into the heart. And we know this to be true. Just by looking at the outside of the person, only Adonai knows what that person is, because he looks further in. Our eyes, we only see the flesh. We only see what the other person wants us to see. Yeah, sometimes we're so discerning that we can see a little bit deeper into that person, but no one guarantees that we're seeing all of them. This is true for men. We can only see so far into a man. This is not true about when we look at Adonai. When we look at Adonai and his actions and his words, we see the true Adonai. We see truly what the Lord's heart really is. So today, I know we've had many messages that says, look at hearts, look at your own heart. But today, we're going to look at Adonai's heart, at the Lord's heart. And I'm calling this the seven glimpses into the heart of Adonai. And here, we're finally getting into the book of Revelation. I told you we're getting there eventually. But here, each time the Lord spoke to one of the congregations at the beginning of Revelation, he was revealing his heart to us. To each congregation, he revealed a little more, and a little more of his heart. So let's dive into what Adonai's heart really looks like toward to us. And that first glimpse is Revelation 2, 4, and 5. So this is the congregation of Ephesus. And he says to them through John, the writer of Revelation, but this I have against you, that you have forsaken your first love. Remember then from where you have fallen. Repent and do the deeds you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your menorah from its place unless you repent. For those who loved or followed Yeshua but backslidden a bit, his heart is that you repent from the deeds and go back to your first love. To come back to him, because his heart is that he does not want to remove the menorah from his presence. He does not want you not to be in his presence. Look what Adonai says through Jeremiah to the backslidden Israel. Jeremiah 2:19. Your own wickedness will rebuke you, and your backslidings will chide you. Know then and see now how bad and bitter it is for you to forsake Adonai your God. Nor is fear of me in you. It is a declaration of Adonai Tzvaot. But he didn't just leave them with that warning. He didn't just leave them lost. He holds out that hope. That's Jeremiah in the next chapter, 3:12. And he says, go, proclaim these words towards the north, saying, return, backsliding Israel, says Adonai. I will no longer frown on you, for I am merciful, says Adonai. I will not keep a grudge forever. Adonai's heart is merciful, and he wants Israel and everyone else who's backslidden to return to him. His word is the same yesterday as it is today, as it is tomorrow. So the same word he spoke to Israel back then about backsliding is the same as today. If you're backslidden and you're wondering, will the Lord accept me back? Read Jeremiah 3:12. It says, I will no longer frown on you. I am merciful. He is merciful even to the backslidden. So that's the first glimpse into his heart. The second glimpse in his heart is found with the second congregation, Smyrna. It's found in Revelation 2:10. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison so that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. His heart is for those who are holding on faith, even though tribulation is coming, or even though tribulation has already started. His heart is wanting to give you the crown. His heart is that you be faithful, just like he is faithful. His heart is faithful. He's given us the tools to hold on to these during these times of tribulation. He's given us his Ruach HaKodesh. He's given us who is our strength. That Ruach HaKodesh is our strength. He is our counselor. He's the word, and we use that sword, the word, his sword, in order to combat those who come against us during that tribulation, against our enemy. Hebrews 10, 34 and 36 says, "For you suffered long with the prisoners and joyfully accepted the plundering of your possessions, knowing that you have for yourself a better and lasting possession. Therefore, do not lose your boldness, which has great reward. For you need perseverance so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise." For many of us, we have experience in suffering. We have gone through some trials and tribulations already. And to think there are more to come is not all that comforting. But those trials and tribulations, I can't say they're going to compare to what's coming. But what I can say is they are preparing us for what's coming. That the Lord allows us to go through things in order to prepare us for the trials and tribulations that are coming. The Lord's heart is to strengthen us and prepare us. The third glimpse is into the heart of Adonai is Pergamum. 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 Thank you. Missed a syllable in there. See, when there are too many syllables, I just try to remove them. Pergamum. Revelation 2:17. Now, he's speaking here to the congregation because they were holding to Balaam's teachings, these corrupt teachings, and the Nicolaitans. Say it again. Nicolaitans. See, that's why I need someone in the front. Thank you. Nicolaitans is a heretical sect that worked out a compromise with the society of its time, which was a problem because it was a pagan society that they were working out their compromises with. And here's what he says to them. "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Ruach is saying to Messiah's communities. To the one who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone. And written on that stone, a new name that no one knows except for the one who receives it." Adonai's heart is for those straying, is for them to repent and come back to the truth and light. He wants to give us his manna, his food, his word, his heavenly food. And that white stone is not something to put up on a shelf. Back then, a white stone indicated the ability to be admitted into something. That white stone was your admission ticket. And in this case, it's an admission ticket to heaven, to his presence everlasting. He wants us to be fed, and he wants us to be admitted into his presence. 1 Timothy 2:4, "He desires all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of truth." He desires. That's his heart. He desires all men You will not find anywhere in Scripture that it starts carving out, but not this person, but not that group of people, but not this group of people, regardless of how bad they've been, regardless of how much they persecuted Israel, how much they persecuted you. His desire is for all men to be saved. That's his heart, not to lose any single one. That's the third glimpse into Adonai's heart. The fourth, Thyatira, is Revelation 2:21 through 25. And this congregation was accepting Jezebel as a prophetess because she called herself a prophetess when she really was not. And it says, starting in 21, I gave her time to repent, but she refused to repent of her immorality. Behold, I will throw her into a sickbed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of her doings. I will also strike her children with a deadly disease. Then all of Messiah's communities will know that I am the one who searches minds and hearts. I will give to each of you according to your deeds. But to the rest of you in Thyatira, who do not hold to his teachings and have not learned the so-called deep things of Satan, I place on you no other burden. Only hold firm to what you have until I come. He wants to give everyone a chance. We've said that. But those who don't will have to pay the price on their own for their sin. He's hoping that you accept that he's paid the price. But if you don't, you'll have to pay the price your own. But his heart is that we hold firm for those who believe, that we hold firm and not cave in to the world. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some consider slowness. Rather, he is being patient towards you, not wanting anyone to perish, but for all to come to repentance. So here we're hearing why. You know, someone say, well, why doesn't Yeshua just come now? It's our hope that he comes now. It's his patient heart so that all would come to the saving knowledge of who Yeshua is. It's his patient heart that gives a chance to everyone. It's his patient heart that no one should have to pay the price of sin themselves. But he's not going to force it on you. He's not forcing it on you. That's his heart. Patience. The fifth glimpse of Adonai's heart comes from the congregation while he's talking to the congregation of Sardis. Revelation 3, 2 through 5. And this was a prideful congregation. They were prideful of thinking of themselves as alive, but the Lord did not think of them as alive. And he says to them, wake up and strengthen that which remains that was about to die, for I have not found your deeds complete in my sight of my God. So remember what you have received and heard. Keep it and repent. If you will not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come upon you. Be still. You have a few people in Sardis who have not stained their clothes. They will walk with me in white because they are worthy. The one who overcomes thus will be dressed in white clothes. I will never blot out his name out of the book of life, and will confess his name before my Father and his angels. His heart is to shake people awake. Wake up! Wake up! Look what's going on around you. Look what you're walking into. Look what I have for you. He wants, his heart is to wake people up so that they will not walk in death. Luke 12:37-8. Happy are those slaves whose master finds them alert when he comes. Amen, I tell you, he will prepare himself and have them recline at table and will come and serve them. And if he comes in the second or even the third watch and finds them so, they will be happy. His heart is to be that we're awake and alert. In fact, look at verse 37, what it says. That first verse that I read. He himself will prepare the table so that everyone else can recline, and then he serves them. And then they're going to be happy. The Lord's heart is to be a servant. He says, if you're prepared, I'll set the table. You recline, and I'll serve you. He is a servant's heart. He has that servant's heart. And this is just as it says in Revelation 3:4 about them being dressed in white and not being blotted out of the book of life. So he meant to come back as a servant because of that heart. And for those who aren't quite as white as they should be, their dress is not as white as it should be, he'll come back as the servant and cleanse it so that they are white and are prepared and are ready and are acceptable for that final feast. That's our fifth glimpse into the heart of Adonai. The sixth is Philadelphia, the congregation of Philadelphia. Revelation 3:10-11. Because you have kept my word about patient endurance, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is coming upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take away your crown. Adonai's heart is to bless those who know him and keep their way to the end. Those who run the race to the end, that's his heart, to bless them, to bless us. By doing this, no one will take away our crown. James 1:12. Happy is the one who endures testing, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord promised to those who love him. Adonai's heart cannot be tempted. And he encourages us not to be tempted as well, to finish that race. And did you notice in Revelation 3:10, it says that the hour of trial is coming. It didn't say that it might come. It is coming. So we need to stand firm in our faith, firm in our belief of who he is, firm in our trust of Yeshua and the blood that cleanses us. Now, some are going to say, you know, about that tribulation that's coming. Didn't he say that we don't have to go through it? Didn't he say that it's coming, the world will test you down on earth. I'm coming, hold on to what you have so that no one will be taken away. Doesn't that mean we're going to be taken away so we don't have to go through that trial and tribulation? Now, I'm not coming down on any one of those sides. I am not a pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib. You know what? All I know, all you really need to know, you want to go and go through that rabbit hole, that's fine. All you need to know is you need to be ready. Doesn't matter, you know, because once that tribulation starts, I think it's going to be a little late. If we're pre-trib, you're definitely late. If you're mid-trib, maybe you have a moment. If it's post-trib, maybe you have two moments. But do you want to take that chance? You know, it's just like life today. You don't know if you have tomorrow. You don't know if you have your next hour to breathe. Make yourself ready now. And God's heart is, if you are ready, no one will be able to take your crown. And that's His heart, that no one take your crown. That's His heart. And the seventh glimpse, with the seventh congregation, Laodicea, Revelation 3:17. For you say, I am rich, I have made myself wealthy, and I need nothing. But you do not know that you are miserable and pitiable and poor and blind and naked. I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich, and white clothes so that you may be dressed yourself, and so the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed. The eye salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. Therefore be zealous and repent. His heart is to love, and that love sometimes comes in discipline, so that we may be ourselves disciplined and zealous for Him. His heart is for us to be zealous as well, because He's already zealous. John 8:31. Then Yeshua said to the Judeans who had trusted Him, If you abide in my word, then you are truly my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It is Adonai's heart that we be set free. As we said before, the only way to do this is to know the truth. And the only way to do that is to hear the truth spoken to us all the time. Even for those who don't know Him, they need to hear it. Even for those who refuse to hear it, they still need to hear it. That doesn't mean that, in fact, that does mean that we should never give up speaking, because the Lord will never stop speaking to you. Regardless of how far you are, He still calls your name. Regardless of where you think you are, His voice still reaches you if you will open your ears and listen to it. Regardless of how far you are, His arm is not too short to reach out to you. All you need do is turn where you are right now. His heart is zealous for us. Us, meaning those who are already saved and those who are not saved. Meaning the Jew and the Gentile. Meaning those who follow and those who are still living a paganistic life. His voice calls out to each and every one of us. So seven congregations and seven glimpses into the Lord's heart. But wait, there's more. This is the Lord's heart, that He always has more for us. So He has a bonus glimpse for us in Revelation. Revelation 3:20 through 21. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and will dine with him, and he with me. To the one who overcomes, I will grant the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I myself overcame and sat down with my Father on His throne. This is the final glimpse for today of His heart, of His love. He's waiting for each of us. He wants to give us that place at his table so that we can eat with him, so that none are lost. He knocks, it says. He knocks. We think we knocked first. He knocked first so that we can. Can you imagine? Adonai, the Lord, is begging you to come up onto his lap. Begging you so that you can sit on his throne with him, on his lap, so he can wrap his arms around you in his love. Matthew 7, 7 and 8. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it shall be opened. We can ask, seek, and knock because he did first. We can love him, but because he loved us first. We can chase after him because he chased after us first. I can truly say in my life, I was not looking. I was not seeking. I was not asking. I was not knocking. But he chased after me. And when the Lord chases, he can catch. He loves us. Adonai's heart is huge and loving and merciful. And those are the attributes of Adonai's heart. He is merciful. It is to strengthen us. It is not to lose any. It is to be patient. It's the heart of a servant. It's a heart that can't be tempted. It's a heart for all to be set free. And it's a heart that we would come up and just sit on his lap while he's sitting on the throne. Can you imagine that? He's on the throne and wants you on the throne. He's sitting there and he says, come up onto my lap. Who gets called up onto the lap of a king? I would say it's only the children of the king. We are the children of Adonai when you accept Messiah Yeshua. He wants you up on his lap. Take a moment and reflect on his heart. And then take a moment and reflect on what you know of your own heart. Because my encouragement would be, align the two up. Will we ever be perfectly aligned? If that was the case, I would think we wouldn't need the blood of Messiah Yeshua. But we can come as close as we can. We can come so that we can show others his loving heart. We can line ourselves up and know that the blood of Messiah Yeshua will work the rest of it out. We just need to accept. We just need to understand and just look into his heart and know the truth is right there. That he wants us with him. So, Father, it's our desire to be with you. It's our desire to be on your lap. I thank you that your lap is so big, everybody fits. No one gets knocked off because someone else climbs up. This is not a game of King of the Hill. This is a game of everybody's included. Your arms are so big and so long that regardless how far away they are from you, you desire to reach out and touch them. So, Father, I ask on this day that if anyone is listening, either here or on the live stream or even on the archive, And they have their doubts. Ruach HaKodesh, come to their heart and work out their doubts. Speak of that. Speak to them as you've spoken to us. And continue to speak to us so that we will continually be in greater alignment with you, closer to you, loving upon you as you love upon us. I thank you that your heart is that merciful, that large, that strong, that patient, that you will wait upon us. But we know that you cannot wait forever. The time is coming that Messiah Yeshua will be coming a second time. And that second time will be as a judge. Ruach HaKodesh, I ask that you move on every heart before that time. Before that time. So they may climb up onto your lap and acknowledge who you are. Thank you in Yeshua's name. Amen. Amen.